Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Shine, you're on with this due time with Pastor Steph. How are you today? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you all of last week? Oh, we got started shaking the Monday morning blues with our relationship clinic. We have Mr. and Mrs. Fulton and Courtney Lee Smith, and they talk about the road to there. Oh, my goodness, what a fantastic conversation and journey we went on last week, Monday, and they talk about some things that you experience on the road. And yes, don't underestimate the power of prayer for your spouse. Yeah, how do you think you're going to go on this journey and you don't take prayer with you? Yeah, because there's going to be a lot of things coming up that you're going to look over and you're going to go, I need to pray for that. Oh, yes, I need to pray for that. We also talked about submission. Submission goes both ways. You know, sometimes when you talk about submission, especially to women, they get all twisted because they think, you know, that you've got to be bowed down and this servant. No. Well, see, here's the first thing we need to remember. That we're not submitting to our spouse because we want to. No, we're submitting because God said so. And as long as we are going God's way and answering what God would have us to do, it's not going to be out of alignment. No. You're not going to have to worry about everything being all twisted. Because if you're praying for your husband, you look at the light bulb going off. I know you just made that connection. Yes. So we want to thank the Smith for coming on to the show and just sharing with us some of the wonderful gems that they have, you know, in their little arsenal, and they gave it to us last week. We could not finish off on Monday without our switch tip, and it was switch tip number 73, walk in the new. Yes, Shantice talked about, yes, you know, the old things have passed away. Ah, praise God. All things should be new once you accept Jesus as your personal Savior. Yeah. Think about what the Smith said. If you have a hard time, you know, getting that together in the spiritual part of your brain, go to the carnal side and think about the example that they gave. I thought it was a wonderful segue into talking about the relationship, the road to there in God. Yes, because it's a journey. No different than that marital journey. So we want to make sure, you know, that we put things in perspective And we understand that when we give God our life, when we accept Jesus as our personal Savior, yes, you got to shake those old things off. You cannot bring that raggedy stuff with you. No, God doesn't give us raggedy stuff, does he? No, so then you can't give God raggedy stuff any longer. Now, we're not talking about before you knew the Lord. We're talking about afterwards, and we understand that everything is not going to drop off, and we're everything is not going to be right there. But you definitely, people need to start seeing the difference. Yeah, you can't tell me you've been, living in the Lord, for 10 years and people still looking at you and trying to figure out where. No, so come on. Pick up that gem. Walk in the new. Okay? Well, we didn't have a broadcast on Tuesday, but we did make it to Wednesday, God spared. And we started out with our girlfriend Viv and her socially conscious segment. And we talked about some real serious stuff. We talked about the domestic violence issue that's going on. And in one particular case, the husband was still beating his wife while she was on the phone with 911. Yes. And, we talked about, she talked about these are order of protections that unfortunately don't go very far. So ladies and gentlemen, if you are in an abusive relationship, please make sure you get out. Please get out early. Yeah, before this can become so deep that it's just completely out of control. Just get out, get out, get out. This is the month of domestic violence awareness. And two words, get out. Yes, it can be done. Millions have done it, and it can be you. Oh, we talked about that hit list that circulated, in a particular school, and, how the young people are paying people to beat people up if they're a buck tooth or if they're cheaters or abusers or closeted gay people. Yes, an actual hit list that's going on in the school. We're not even talking about, adults here. We're talking about the young people, and oh my goodness, it's just a mess out here. You know how it goes down. It's a mess. So, we got to keep our kids lifted, definitely lifted in prayer. Okay? All righty. Well, we spoke with the ladies. Yes, our women of worship, and we talked about ways to pray for your child. What areas are you praying for your children in? Because I'm trusting that if you have a life that's hidden in Christ, that yes, you are praying for your children and praying for their faith is what we talked about. Yes, yes, you can pray for your children's faith because, they really don't have anything to go on. So, we have to pray that every obstacle becomes a level of faith when they look behind and they've gotten past that point in their life. We're talking about every occurrence that happens in their life that they can go back and look at the thing as just a faith experience. And if God helped me get out of this thing before, he'll help me get out of it again. Yes, we have to think about our children on that level, okay? We have to pray for their health. Excuse me, yes. Our children are born ill. Yes, now like when we were coming out the womb, yeah, our parents may not have been doing the right thing. But we weren't so messed up with allergies and all other kind of things, So come on, get that prayer in for the health and definitely their friendships. And I put a pause right there because you got to keep God in the forefront when it comes to their friendships, because most times people go down because they have not learned to choose the right people to be around. And it's true when they say you are the average of your circle of friends. Yep. So your circle of friends need to be church people. And make sure you cling to the right church people because, man, I didn't see some of them. there humdinging. You don't need me to be around them. Okay? All right. Well, we had our Techie Talk, and we had our anchor of the Wednesday morning, Pastor Charlene Beard, and her Faith Over Fear segment. All right, so that's how we get our Wow Wednesday. Well, Therapeutic Thursday rolls around, and we had our Mrs. Courtney Lee Smith, our grief and loss consultant, and we really had a blessed conversation as we learned about different levels of grief. No, it's just not about death. Okay, we're talking about loss of identity. You know, do you know who you are after certain occurrences in your life? You know, we can get real twisted, you know, at some points in our life, and we just lose who we are. We talked about the loss of safety, you know, that cushion that we've always been accustomed to. And when that cushion is gone, what happens to us? Okay, we're talking about that loss of autonomy. You know, when you've moved into that area of life where you're not who you used to be, you don't have, again, that cushion of experience and self that you used to, and that will really cause some grieving period in our life. And we talked about the loss of dreams, expectations, and aspirations. You know, when you can be who you were hoping to be. Yes, there's grief, and you know how we talk. Oh my goodness, the talk we had with Ms. Smith was really a blessed one, because she really brought out some real good stuff. Okay, so we really were blessed on Thursday to have that conversation, and Friday rolled around. Yep, Friday rolled around. Excuse me. And we had our men. Oh, we had our men in the forefront. They had their say, and they were joined by Mr. Fulton Smith. Again, we had him on Friday, and oh, it was a blessed conversation again, as we talked about things that we need to be praying about for our children. Yes, we went back to prayer. We got the men in the house to talk about this particular area and his integrity. We're praying for our child's integrity. We're praying for the tender heart of our children. Yes, they can't be so hard as they walk around this world, you know, this earth, because now, you know, the things that they need to learn how to pray for, nah, that ain't happening. All right, so we really had a blessed week over here on the Due Time with Pastor Steph last week. And I would like to say we rounded off the week with our prayer project. Yes, on Sunday, we got our prayer project number 2 started, where we were praying for the dead. Yes, I put it kind of backwards at the end of the week because, we started the week. But I wanted to talk about how we finished the week with that. Yeah. Really, what a blessing we had last night together, as the ladies really, really, really offered up a magnificent list of dads. Yes. So I want to say this. I want to say this because I got a lot of people started off with just throwing out prayers. Each week, God will indicate who we're praying for. So when you get your post, please go look, see who we're praying about. So when you submit the names, we're targeting who God is, you know, wanting us to target. Okay, it's not that those people that you submit don't need prayer, but we got to be obedient. We got to do what God says to do. And I just pray that you are a part of that blessed experience. And we're looking forward to continuing to go forward with that. Remember, it's a climb to 1 million women. Yeah, some people say, "Are you crazy?" Listen, I didn't wake up deciding this is what I wanted to do. You know, Sunday was the last little second time I had, and God gave me something to do, on that day, and got to be obedient, whatever God calls you to do. You got to follow up and you got to say yes. So I need you to tell your friends, tell your family. I need you to get on and stand in the gap for this world. That's what God has called us to do. Stand in the gap. I'm telling you, the situation, the name, the families were phenomenal for the past couple weeks. Yes, these ladies are going in. When we ask for prayer and who you're going to submit, oh, they're on it. And we're so grateful. Because think about it. If we had 100, just the one, we're not even talking about this million, 100 women who are standing in the gap consistently every week, can you imagine how this world will begin to shift? Oh, man. Oh, man. Okay. Yesterday, we talked about the dads, and we, you know, God said, call out the children's name as well. Because when you call out the children's name, yes, that makes a difference, because now it's just not dad you're praying for. And yes, you know, I'm just a little bit different. Targeted prayer. I was always taught targeted prayer. So yes, you know, I don't want to know the whole situation. But, you know, even last night we had someone submit the name of a gentleman who is a dad. And they said, you know, hey, he's out here riding on his motorcycle. You know, we're just going to lift him in prayer and just let him understand that, you know, this, are you really, like, reckless? Or are you paying attention? Or please just come up off the motorcycle altogether, because it's just a dangerous thing to do. So we really got to pay attention to what God is asking us to do, because there's a reason. And I'm telling you, last week was the first week, not yesterday, last week was the first week, and God says, impactful prayer for him. I need you to pray for the men of this world. And we weren't talking about just the good men. We were talking about the men of God. We were talking about the men who heard about God, who's been running from God. We're talking about the drug dealer. We're talking about the man in jail. We were talking about everybody. And go back to what I just said a minute ago. Think about how many lives will begin to change when not only are we standing in the gap, but we're submitting names. We're submitting. I'm not just standing there holding hands and holding hearts, but I actually submitted a name of a person who doesn't know God, a person who may know God, but just ain't paying God no mind. Listen. The effectual fervent prayer of the righteous, come on with me, availeth much. Yes, don't miss your opportunity. I know you may be, you know, a part of other prayer groups and things like that. Nothing wrong. But what God has called us to do is pull and band together. Can you imagine if we took all those little pockets of prayer groups? This one got 10, this one got 20, this one got 30, this one got 5, this one got 2. And we just add all of that together. Yes. Come on, come on, come on. So you know what? Get ready. Get ready to find out who we're praying for on Sunday, God's day. So we got our jump start into the week. We've already called out the names of, oh my goodness, I didn't even count how many men we called out. But think about it this way. If we called out 20 men, we were praying for at least 50 children. Oh, did you just feel that? Oh, when I said it, my insides just jumped. We just got finished praying for at least 50 children. At least 50 children. Yep. At least 50 children. So without praying for the children, we pray for the children. Now, if we pray for the children, imagine how many lives are affected, because those children will be able to take that into the schoolhouse, and they will be able to take that into the conversation with their friends. Yes. Yes. I have a granddaughter. I told you a little while ago, you know, she came back home one day and said, oh, so-and-so goes to church. A little boy in her class. And I'm like,
how did you find out that so-and-so goes to church? I can't even remember what she said, but she was 5 at the time. So they're actually talking about who goes to church in school. Hey, all right, come on. Do you see how your prayer, the domino effect of your prayer gets answered? Oh, my goodness. The little kids are talking about, hey, you go to church, I go to church. Remember the other conversations that's been going on all week. The TikTok slap your teacher challenge and the TikTok this and the challenge of that and the pranks and, hey, come on. I'm getting excited. How are you not excited? I know you got to be excited. If you know the Lord and you know the power of prayer, there's nowhere in the world you're going to tell me that you're not excited at the fact that our children are being affected by the prayer for the dad. Oh, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Oh, you didn't just set my whole morning into an entirely different hemisphere. Oh, I'm excited. I got a headache. I'm excited. I'm excited. And I give God thanks. You know, I got to be honest. I was like, God, come on. I only had one day. One day, one day. That means that wherever I am, I got to look at the clock. I got to think about, get myself prepared, da, da, da. And then the other side of me says, God chose you. God chose you. How blessed are you when God looked and chose you? Yeah, I was twisted at one point. I got to be honest, you know. But, you know, I'm Mrs. Smith. You know, she gave us a little practice last week. And I never thought about it like that, but I did think about it in another way, but never was able to put the things together. And she said, you know what, get up every morning and have your temper tantrum with God. Get that tissue and get them tears out and, you know, tell God how you feel and throw the tissues on the ground. And when it's all said and done, here's what I want you to do. That's what she told us last week. See, that's what I say, go back and listen. As you pick up the tissue, just give God thanks for something else. Ooh. Yeah, what a practice. Yeah. What a practice. And we give God thanks for sending us little gems like that because, yeah, it definitely helps. Because as you start thinking about all the good things that's going on in your life, when you start thanking God for all the things that are going on in your life, then hey, it begins to outweigh that temper tantrum. All right. So, today, we are shaking the Monday morning blues. So, see, look at how we've done that already. Giving God thanks for choosing us. Giving God thanks for having us pick up those little bits of tissue and saying thank you. Giving God thanks that he chose us to pray for the children. Indirectly. Yeah. So a whole lot of dads are going to be changed. You know, we started off yesterday with a praise report. The ladies came through on a Sabbath, and they said, hey, you know, do you want to hear how God is answering prayer from the prayer of the first week? Oh, yeah. God is answering. He was already answering prayer before we could even get to the second week of prayer. So come on, come on, come on. Do you really, 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 really want to miss out on that opportunity of some answered prayer? You know, we started yesterday, and one mom was like, oh, he is out of control. She was talking about her son. She was like, oh, I can't take it. He's been bugging. Yeah, exactly the way we started off the prayer yesterday. So listen, this prayer is going to come in right on time for some people. And here's the other thing that we're not thinking about. It's going to come right on time for you because you don't even know why God has put it in your heart to pray for somebody. They could be ready to jump off the bridge. You wouldn't know. How many people commit suicide and never say a word? They don't even do you a favor and leave a note behind. So now all you could think about is that they were struggling, that they were in your face struggling. Well, think about this opportunity to pray. Come on. You know, for the past 2 weeks, we've prayed for our men. Yes, our men. Our men need our prayers. our men who think that, you know, they don't need people, our men who think that they're too macho and, you know, I don't know what word they're using. Okay, Chanti, send me the word. Send me the word that they're using out there for macho right now. And, you know, you think that you don't need nobody. You think you got it. You don't, you know, you don't share. You know, they walk around a lot of times with things bottled up, but it takes the prayer of everyone around him to sometimes help lift him up. Okay, she said, Chanti says that they think they're good. Thank you, thank you, thank you. All right, so I know I've gone a little bit further, but that's my praise report. That's my praise report. That is my praise report for last week, yesterday, last night, everywhere. You know, we go everywhere. We step every conversation we have. We're giving God thanks, okay? So we have a wonderful morning prepared for you today. And when you finish this morning, there will be no more blues. Somewhere along the line, God is going to address that bluesy feeling, okay? So give God thanks for that, especially if you're a male and you're shaking that Monday morning blues. Give God thanks because some prayer went up for you yesterday. Yes, if somebody had you on their mind, if someone had you on their heart, if somebody called your name out, God is answering prayer already, all right? So come on, come on, come on. Let's shake that Monday morning blues together. And we're going to enjoy God this morning. Yeah, okay. All right, so go get that healthy breakfast. Go tell a friend, text a friend, let everybody know that it's due time when Pastor Steph is on. And get settled because we'll be right back.
Sickle cell disease is the most common inherited blood disorder in the U.S. Not many people know about it. It's a genetic condition you're born with. It's inherited when the baby receives two sickle cell genes, one from each parent. It's a disease that affects the red blood cells. When the body goes through an extreme change, for example, a temperature change, dehydration, or overexertion, the blood cells turn into Cs, aka sickles, get clogged in the tiny blood vessels, making blockages, preventing blood flow in the body, causing pain and other serious problems like stroke and acute chest. It affects 100,000 Americans and occurs in one out of every 365 Black or African Americans and one out of every 16,300 Hispanic Americans. It also occurs in people of Middle Eastern, Asian, Indian, and Mediterranean descent. There is only one very risky and expensive cure. Please educate yourself by visiting cdc.gov/NCBDDD/sickle cell and donate at sicklecellfoundation.org/donations to help research this disease.
Good morning, and good morning to you. Welcome to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph, and we are shaking the Monday morning blues together. Yes, there's no reason to be bluesy, okay? No reason to be bluesy at all. Just remember, God's got you no matter what your situation is, okay? So come on, come on, come on, get those pens and papers out. We got some information to get. And I think a lot of people are going to definitely be able to use this information, especially if we're on the older side of life. Yeah. Okay. Come on, come on, get those pens out. Well, we're talking about the arthritis fighting foods that we need to make sure are a part of our diet. Okay, come on, come on. The
arthritis fighting foods that need to be a part of our diet. Okay? All right. So, what's the first thing they're telling us? Oh, guess what? Green tea. Last night, I had my green tea on deck as I was praying and chatting and reading names. And yes, green tea. They say green tea is packed with antioxidants, which can help reduce inflammation and slow down the process of cartilage destruction. Well, I've been drinking green tea ever since we found out how powerful green tea is. I have been loading up. I do have arthritis, and I have been loading up on the green tea, and I advise you to do so. Green tea is really good. Don't add sugar. No, you destroy the whole thing. We don't want to destroy. Okay? All righty. Next, olive oil. Yo, get that olive oil on deck. Another component that helps reduce joint swelling, slows the cartilage destruction, and decreases inflammation. All right, we talked about olive oil last week. You remember? Yes. Okay, olive oil also has a lot of anti-inflammatory components. All right, keep that in mind. Okay. Ooh, that's what they're saying. Salsa. Wow, nice. Okay, they say salsa is packed with vitamin C. Yes. Or the tomatoes, the onions, and the other vegetables that don't have vitamins in it, it's fiber and antioxidant based. So, come on, get that pico de gallo. Yeah, am I saying it right? Yes. You know, for those of us who like Chipotle, yeah, get that pico de gallo. That's salsa. If you like chips, those big Tostitos chips, get that salsa. Yes. Okay. What else are they saying that's going to help us fight arthritis? Quinoa. Yes, that's okay. Quinoa. Quinoa. Yeah, I know it's weird. It took me a minute to realize that that's what it was. But they say quinoa is especially great for arthritis because it's a healthy whole grain and it contains high levels of fiber, antioxidants, vitamins, and minerals. Quinoa. Go get that quinoa. Okay. I haven't tried cooking quinoa before. I think I may try that. I'm going to a store today. I think I want to get my little quinoa going. Yeah. Okay. All righty. Broccoli. Oh, broccoli's on board to help fight the arthritis. They say that broccoli is high in vitamins K and C, and it's great for anti-inflammatory. It definitely they said they have found that a survey of thousands of women that it helped to decrease the levels of inflammation. Yes. All righty. So make sure that if you have osteoarthritis, which is one of the arthritis that I have, they say make sure you keep that broccoli on deck. And listen, okay, so here's another little gem. Don't cook the broccoli till it's fallen off the fork. Yes. I know, you know, with the butter and, you know, cooking it and throwing the little seasoning. And if it's fallen off your fork, you didn't kill it. Yes, all the minerals and the vitamins and all the nutrients are gone when you cook it too long. I'm sorry. I know that's how most of us like to eat it, but try fresh broccoli in your salad. It is delicious. Now, I know a lot of our teeth can't handle it, and we don't know, you know, how our teeth are going to feel afterwards, but then steam it, and just put your little, spray your little butter on that has zero calories. Yes. Okay, so someone asked for the spelling of quinoa, Q-U-I-N-O-A, quinoa. Okay, so make sure you don't kill the nutrients in the broccoli by boiling it too long or cooking it too long, okay? Okay, where's my brother Al? Garlic. Oh, garlic is on this list. Okay, come on now, garlic. Get garlic in your system. They say it's a great anti-inflammatory component that you can eat. And when you make when you have osteoarthritis, garlic is very, very good for it. They say that the Arthritis Foundation found that the compound that's in garlic will definitely help to fight against the damage of cartilage. Okay, garlic, they say, is also great for lowering the risk of cancer, heart disease, and dementia. Okay, so there's a couple extra bonuses in the garlic for us. Okay, dark chocolate, here we go again. That dark chocolate is on the list. Yes, and we've talked about some of these things before. It's not the first time, but, you know, we don't know who's just joined us due time. I know you put the list down and you can't find it. Well, look at God. He's brought this back. Okay, so dark chocolate, they say, is filled with a lot of anti-inflammatory properties, and make sure you don't overdo it, but eat dark chocolate. The antioxidants are very powerful, very, very, very powerful. They say just make sure you keep your portions low. Don't be going all buck wild, because you told me I'm eating this chocolate because I need to fight arthritis, and now you're getting sugar diabetes, okay? Oh, check this out. Prunes. Prunes lower the risk for arthritis. Yes. Remember, fruit is a prune is a fruit, okay? And they say that fruit is something that those of us with arthritis should eat on a regular basis. They say prunes contain a large amount of minerals, vitamins, antioxidants, and fiber, which can lower the risk for arthritis, heart disease, and stroke. Wow. Wow. Yeah. I've always heard that prunes are really good, and you should just eat them on a regular basis. And I also want to give you this for those of you, I hate prunes. Listen, a lot of the good stuff we hate. Okay, they also say that prunes build the bones and muscles, lowers blood pressure, helps digestion, reduce cholesterol levels, and are high in potassium, iron, and vitamins. Okay, and remember, you don't have to eat the actual prune. You always got prune juice. Okay, so it doesn't only help you go to the bathroom. It is definitely powerful. All right, salmon. Salmon. Yes, salmon has been on this list. They say with those of us who have rheumatoid arthritis and poor bone health definitely need to get to the salmon. Yes, get to that salmon, because salmon really helps to support bone growth. Okay, we haven't read a lot of that. Okay. They say bone loss comes with a lot of inflammation of your joints, okay? So for those of us who have fibromyalgia and all those other different types of joint and muscle issues, we need to make sure we eat properly, because our bones are also going to be affected. Now that makes sense why the doctor keeps sending me for bone density on a regular basis, not just because of my age, but because of the fibromyalgia. It helps. Remember, it's your bones and your joints and muscles are affected when you have fibromyalgia. Okay? All righty. So we're going to stop there. We're going to stop there, and we're going to continue to go. I can't, because of the way the list is given, I cannot go back and give the list. So somebody who has compiled the list, please send it over, and I'll read it back later. But let's go with that food. Make sure we get that food under control. All righty. All right. So we got to talk about our morning news, our Monday morning news, not our Monday morning blues. All right. I got a couple of stories for you. Okay. Well, last week, I don't know if you heard about the story. There was an officer. He had just joined the police department in Georgia. His very first shift. Oh, my God. And I'm saying, oh, my God. His very first shift. He was shot to death. Oh, my goodness. Leaving behind a wife and a baby. He didn't even get an opportunity to start the job. Now, we don't know what God could have been preventing. And this is one of the reasons why we need to go before the Lord and ask God to really, you know, point the direction in which we should go in. Yeah, that was so heartbreaking, so heartbreaking. You know, someone who actually, you know, could have been a good person on the job, you know, somebody decent, somebody we didn't have to worry about being all crooked. Yeah, well, I brought this up because they say the man who's accused of gunning down a Georgia police officer during his first shift, oh, they snagged him. Yes, yes, they got somebody. 43-year-old Damian Anthony Ferguson. He's been charged with murder and shooting in the shooting death of that officer, Dylan Harrison. And it was outside the police department. Yes, yes. It says on Friday afternoon, Harrison approached a driver in the parking lot of the Circle K convenience store across from the police department after he observed a traffic violation. And the driver refused to identify himself, and the interaction escalated when the guy pushed Harrison. And Harrison used his taser, arrested the man, and took him to jail. And it all of that got all twisted, and oh my goodness gracious, really, really, really a bad situation. You know, so we have to definitely, again, here we go. Didn't we just get finished talking about praying for the men and calling out their children's name? Well, this particular officer has a wife. He had a wife and a six-month-old son. And now that child does not have a father, his natural father. Mom may get, you know, married later on, but that's not his natural born father, you know? So you really got to keep, I told you, calling out the names of these men, you call out the name of the children, and we don't know what we're doing. We don't know what effect it will have on their little life. Okay, so now we're going to talk about the Staten Island teen who shoots his mother to death with his father's gun. Didn't we just talk about this not that long ago? Young man pulled out a gun when mom took his cell phone. Well, this is a Staten Island teen shot his mother to death in the kitchen of the family home with his father's gun during a crazed argument. Okay. He was 18 years old, and they say he got into an unhinged argument with his parents, and at some point the argument escalated. He got a hold of the father's gun and opened fire, hitting his mother, 51, in the chest. His father, who's 54, suffered a cut to the chest from the grazed wound of the bullet. And he said that, it says the dad told police his son shot at him and missed, and he didn't know what the argument was all about. Wow. Well, if it escalated, then this had to be going on for a minute. Whew, they said they caught him about two blocks away, and he told the officer, "I shot my dad. I did try to kill them." Ooh. Wow. Wow. Oh, my goodness gracious. The mom did not die instantly. She did make it to the hospital, but then she took a turn for the worse, and she died later on. And the father's gun was a licensed gun, and I don't know where he had the gun. You know, so the kid was 18, so, you know, it may have been an issue of, you know, well, let me show you where the gun is, just so that, you know, God forbid anything happens, you can know where the gun is and you can help to defend the family. And this young man is being charged with murder, attempted murder, assault, criminal possession of a weapon, reckless endangerment, and menacing. Didn't I tell you, they load you up. They load, and I can tell you right now, it's going to be like 9 other charges when he goes for the arraignment. Oh, yeah, they're not playing. They're really, really loading up on these charges. He's 18 years old. Talked about praying for the father and then praying for the son. 18 years old, he just gave away his life. Because on the attempted murder and the murder charges alone, he's going down. We ain't even added assault, criminal possession of a weapon, reckless endangerment, and menacing. We're not talking about any other charge that they bring against him. Just those two is going to send him away. Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, that's the news that I have for you this morning. And I want to make sure we get this going with our conversation with our due time crew this morning. Let's say good morning to Pastor KL. Good morning, Pastor KL.
Good morning, everyone. How are you today, Pastor Steph?
I'm well, thank you. I'm well. How are you today, Pastor KL?
I'm all right. I'm just shaking the Monday morning blues. That's all.
All right. That's all right, because we're gonna do this thing together here. Okay, Pastor KL. We're talking about two stories here. We're talking about the guy who is accused of shooting the officer on his first shift. Oh, my gosh. Man didn't even have a chance to start.
He didn't even get his feet wet. You know, and then you know what? You know, let's look at probably what the family's feeling. You know, some family members probably wasn't as supportive as, you know, he joined in the force. So they were already worried about him going out there with everything that's going on. And now on your first day, and then, you know, think about the guilty trip that the wife might be having or the dad might be having. If I just talk to him a little more, if I could have just convinced him a little more, if I could have just prayed a little harder, maybe I didn't pray long enough. You know what I mean? I mean, there's so many things that play involved with the people that are left behind. Yeah, it's an awful thing for the man, you know, for the officer. But the people that's left behind, now they have unanswered, you know, things.
Right.
And they're judging their own self. And, you know, they're feeling guilty of a lot of things that maybe it was me. Maybe because we had this 6-month-old child, he thought he needed a better job. You know, so he thought he needed more money. You know, it's just a lot of stuff that goes up into your psyche.
No, it's very true. It's very, very, very true. You know, there's no time to have rethought this choice of profession. And like you said, you don't know, you know, who had that conversation or who feels like, hey, you know, when he told me, sometimes wives don't necessarily say what they're really feeling. And that's why I'm saying I agree with you when, you know, she could be saying, you know, had I, you know, said something differently or had I said something at all. Or you're right. You know, all of the issues that plague every loved one, you know, the brother who may, you know, I didn't push him in the right direction, or the family member who felt like, the parent, that's what I want to say, who felt like, you know, when he was growing up, you know, had we done something different, maybe he would have chosen that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know,
mm-hmm.
to get out
mm-hmm.
here. So you're absolutely right. You know, there's so many.
And then on the other side, Pastor Steph, the other side, for the mother and father, they could have been proud of their son wanting to do this for society. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
You know,
he
stepped up as a black man. And maybe the wife didn't say anything because the wife was just trying to support him in the decision that he was trying to make. You know what I'm saying? And when you graduated, you know, we were proud. We have another man in blue who's going to make a difference. You know what I mean?
Right.
But they didn't even give him the opportunity to make a difference.
Nope, not at all. And let me break this news to you. So when you pull up the article, you got this face that's smack dab, this big picture that's in the forefront of the article and is outside of the fence who's being charged. Mm. And last week when I saw the article of the officer, big picture on the other side of the fence. So you how this is going
down. When you start talking about how many offenses it was, I knew what it was. See, we can kill each other, and there's no picket line. You know what I mean?
Yep.
But when they kill us, then there's a picket line. But when we kill them, you ain't got to worry about the line. You go into the head of the line.
Oh yeah. And when I saw that, I was like, another life that you didn't just gave away. Because they're going to make sure you go down. I tell you, I'm not upset any less, you know, no, because a life is a life, and I feel so sorry. You know, for the family and the life of the one that was lost, you know, my heart just bled immediately. I'm like, oh my gosh, could this have been one who, you know, who joined the force and who would have made a difference, you know, and we would have had to worry about him being crooked, you know, but God knows best. And that's, I thought about that as well. Like, you know, there's a lot of other things you can think about it. I'm going to leave my mouth closed because we got, you know, our other two-time crew members that, you know, can possibly think of some things. And, you know, but when I saw the picture, I was like, oh, come on. Here we go again. Oh, my goodness. We're talking about the young man arguing with the parents and goes and gets the dad's gun and shoots and kills mom and wound dad. What is going on with these kids and their parents these days?
Well, this shows this clearly that this has been an escalation. No one just goes and gets the gun to shoot. You know, you have allowed your child to talk back to you too many times. You know, when the child was three and the child hit you back, you thought that was cute and you laughed. You know what I mean? And then now he becomes 13. And he's cussing you out. He's not coming in the house. He's doing what he wants to do. You know, and, you know, sometimes these children, because they run out in the street with these crazy folks, they think that you were really born or you were really too old to challenge them. They really think they can beat you. You know what I mean? So they'll jump in your face like we've never come from the streets before. You know, some of us are saved, but some of us are not delivered. So if one of my children come up in front of me, you know, they might not get the saved approach all the time. You know, I'm going to save their life, you know, but it's going to be a whole different thing. When you become afraid of your children know that you are afraid of them, you know, and they try to push your buttons. And the day that you step up to try to regain the authority, then what you do is that you call their bluff. So now they got to do something. Because you called me out. That's the problem.
Whoa, did you just lay that one out? See, there's a lot of different things in that statement right there. And it's very true. You know, these children, especially in these latter, you know, months where it's been a war against children and their parents. And this... You know, we're not saying that our side of the fence does not, you know, they don't have, you know, they've never been guilty. But we're really seeing this on the other side of the fence. So,
I definitely wanted to say that the other side of the fence is more prevalent to this than we are. Because, you know, we still got some big mamas who ain't going to play this game. We still got some fathers and some regular mamas, we ain't gonna play this game. But when the other side of the fence, when you grow up and your name is Margaret instead of Mommy, then we got a problem. You know, when they can call you Margaret at 5 years old, and that is your name, you've already lost the respect.
Yep, very true. You look at a lot of little things, like you said, that really show and indicate that we in trouble here. And we think about all the temper tantrums and things like that that they're allowed to get away with. And now, like you said, we older. So let me keep my mouth closed. Let me keep my mouth closed. But I want to thank you, Pastor KL, for joining us this morning. Let's go talk to our brother Al. Let's say good morning to brother Al. Good morning.
Top of the morning, top of the morning. Oh, yeah. Good morning, Pastor Steph. Good morning. Happy Monday.
Good morning, good morning. Oh, Brother Al, we talking about these people going crazy with the gun. So we got the officer who never made it out of his first shift.
Man, that's crazy, you know, and hurtful. And, you know, and I could just imagine, you know, I know some people who are officers, you know, and when they leave out to go that morning, you know, the wife always say, hey, you know, hey, have a safe day. Make sure you come back to me. I could just imagine his wife saying that to him. You know, hey, be careful out there. Have a great day. You know, I see you when you come home. And he don't come home. Man, you know. And like Pastor Carol was saying, the guilt, you know, you start getting guilt because you always feel, I could have did more, you know. Maybe before he left that morning, we should have prayed together, you know, but he was rushing out, you know. Man, that's cool. I felt that all the way, man, first day, you know, and I could see it's him, you know, being happy. Hey, I made this move. I made this decision to make a change to make better money to help out my family. I got a child I'm raising. So, you know, he excited. You know, hey, it's my first day. I want to go out here, you know, talk to people, you know, help people. You know, that's his goal, to go out and help people, make a change. And then someone comes up and murder him like that. Man, that's bad.
Yeah, really, really sad occurrence. And again, you know, the child will be affected, the wife will be affected, the family will be affected going forward. So, a lot of prayers. You know, we're talking about praying for the husband, praying for that dad.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So it definitely does trickle down onto the children. So, talking about trickle down onto the children, Brother Al, we're talking about this Staten Island young man who gets into the argument and now he shoots his parents. And he says, I meant to. Ooh.
Yeah, and to be bold enough, you know, like you said, this ain't something that happened overnight. It's been escalating for a while. And the biggest problem is, you know, like I said, you know, being in this field, the parents of
Ooh. Oh my goodness gracious! This is doing something on its own today. Wow!
I know, Archie Rachel. Oh, you trying to check me out?
No! Ooh. All of a sudden,
you trying to check? You ask me a question, then you blast the music in my ear. This is what we doing. This is what we doing.
You have something good to say, Brother Al, because the board is talking against you. What you got? What you got for us?
Yeah,
man,
yeah.
Al, what you saying?
You know, I was saying the biggest problem is, for me working in this field, the parents are terrified of the children. I run into some parents, and they be like, well, you can't do nothing. They got all the rights. They can call the cops. And I'm looking at them like, okay, and? So because you feel they got rights, this kid can say what he want to you. He can do what he want to you. And the kids know it. That's the thing. People think these kids are so young that they don't understand. I sit there and I watch the kids manipulate their parents, and I'm sitting there like, you know, and one of my questions I always say to the parents, were you able to do that to your parents when you was young? And they said, no. I said, so why are you allowing your child to do it? If you couldn't do it, why you allow your children to do it? and the kids would press you to see how far they can go. You know,
oh, absolutely.
I remember working with the kids, and some of my, you know, I've been in the school for a while. Some of my kids now are teenagers, and they're big teenagers now. And I remember being in the gym, and one of the kids, you know, he came up behind me playing, and he grabbed me. Oh, I got you now, coach. I ain't no little kid no more. What's that, man? I said, you sure you got me? Oh, I got you, coach. I got you. You getting older now. I flipped this behind over and got him down the floor. Pretty, oh, coach. I said, you just remember that strength's still there, boy. That old man's strength is still there. But, you know, and I looked at that, and I was talking to my assistant coach. I said, now, see, if he'd have been able to grab me and I wasn't able to get out of that, even though he was joking because they respect me highly. But if I wasn't able to get out of that, that would have built this confidence. Like, okay, you know, I'm stronger than coach now, and this and that. So I made that a purpose to show him, you still can't handle me, young man. You still can't. Besides, there's different idols I can pick up and take care of his business. So you know, and you have to let these kids know because they start losing respect. Like my children, they come by, they see little things, they see by my entrance door, there's a bat right there by my door. You come by my room, there's a stick over there. You know, I have things laying around just in case you want to get crazy. And, you know, because I got to let you know, I brought you in this world and now take you out. You're going to respect
me.
But I'm telling you, because I'm telling you myself, I see these kids are so disrespectful to the parents, and the parents are just terrified of getting in trouble. That's their biggest thing. They want to say something. But that, man, if they call the cops, I'm going to get arrested. I don't want to get arrested. So I said, so you're going to just allow this child to just be so disrespectful for you. And you think it's going to end here. It's going to continue to go. So, I feel bad for the parents, man. You know, the wife is dead and the father is injured. And then he got the call and said, I meant to do it. Like, wow.
Yeah, you all out of control now. All out of control.
Yeah, yeah. I did it, so what?
Yeah, man, I tell you. Well, thank you, Brother Al, for joining us this morning. We're going to say good morning to our lady, Tamika. Good morning, Tamika.
Monday morning. It feels like forever since I've made that one. Good morning.
Very happy to hear our Monday morning jingle. How are you this morning?
I am doing well. How are you this morning?
I'm well, thank you. I'm very well, thank you. Ah, we're talking about the cop who had a very short experience as being a cop. But what's your thought?
You know, we don't know if they even had a life, you know, whereas they knew Jesus. Because I'm thinking about it on the other frame. You know, let's just say she's not employed and she's sitting at home and he's, you know, the breadwinner, you know, and you kiss your spouse or maybe not, you know, you turn over because in your mindset is, oh, he'll make it home. You know, you don't ever think about those type of things, you know, and even with that, it brings me all the way back to 9/11 in that, you know, all of the reactions that, you know, transpired. The mindset was, well, I'll see you later on, you know, so you don't think about praying and you don't think about, you know, embracing or, you know, you don't say I love you, those things that are missed. But every day, you know, you have no idea, you know, that something can happen. And so it's important. Pray, you know, hug a little longer, you know, talk a little longer, especially when you're married, you know, that night before, get that little, you know, that pillow talk. There's nothing wrong with that little extra time, you know, take a little time to, you know, let that loved one know that, you know, you love them. Not so much, you know, things happen, you know, you have a disagreement or whatever the case may be. And you don't want that last word to be, oh, just get out of my face, you know, and then that thing comes to your mind often. You know, his mindset was, I'm taking care of my child, not, you know, I'm not going to make it home on my first day.
Right, definitely. We know, you know, yeah, you may say, you know, I'm looking forward to coming home. I hope I make it home. But you're surely not going to think on your first day that you're going to be experiencing anything like that. That is really just the extra that somebody would experience.
And what about the Staten Island teenager?
I'm just, you know, I'm concerned. I often pray for the youth because we think about it, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, it was last week we talked about the female who, with her boyfriend, killed the mother and put her in a suitcase. Now we got one that's shooting the mom, you know. And I remember, you know, even in my 20s, you know, in my 30s, I was afraid to do certain things and say certain things to my mom because there was that respect and authority, you know, and you have to teach that from as soon as they can, you know, as soon as they can actually understand, which is before they're 1 year old, you know, no, don't touch that, you know, you pop them on the hand, that type of thing, you know, and the first time that they start doing something that's inappropriate, you know, I remember my mother saying to me, I will stand on a chair, I will stand on a tree, I will stand in the air to get to you because you're not going to do certain things. You're not going to say certain things to me. And I think that when you lose that respect for authority, then it's, oh, okay. You know, and you're right. You know, slamming doors and throwing things, not in my house. You know, and so I think that was what happened. It started off as a you know, a throwing thing. Where does it come when you and I are literally face-to-face yelling? And, you know, the other thing is, where was that he didn't know what they were arguing about? I get that things happen, but, like, you know, you're not going to yell and scream and holler in my house, period, as the youth. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, you know, we don't know if he came in at the last minute. We don't know if he was sleeping and he woke up to the argument. You know, we don't know what happened that he was disconnected from the actual occurrence but ended up being shot at. Can you imagine if you weren't even a part of the argument and you're being shot at? So, I mean, even that in and of itself is just something. And I think about, you know, all the time as my girls were getting older and they got to be a little taller than me. And one of them said something about, well, I'm taller than you and you can't, like, hit me or something. I said, listen, I can always punch up. I can always punch up. You ain't never going to be too big for me. If I need to swing, I won't. You know, so like Mom said, you know, she'll stand on a chair or whatever the situation is. Listen, you know, you've got to gain control early. And that, I think that's what happens with, you know, the other side of the fence. The control is in, like Pastor KL said, in the reverse. They're ruling the roost. And now you're under the subjection of your children, opposed to your children minding their manners, you know, toward you as an adult. But I want to thank you all for joining us this morning. Thank you, Lady Tamika, for joining us this morning. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back to our main conversation. So hold on to your seat. We'll be right back.
I'm Jason. I'm 32, and my risk for stroke is increased by 5 times because of an irregular heartbeat called atrial fibrillation, or AFib. Because of my young age, I'm not a typical AFib patient.
And I'm Pat. I'm 62, and I'm a 2-time stroke survivor with AFib, which is most common in older people.
Together, we are faces of AFib and stroke.
Telling our stories might help save a life.
Take action today by talking with a healthcare professional about your risk. And visit stroke.org to learn more.
A morning without some dew. Spend yours with Pastor Steph.
Good morning and welcome back to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And we are shaking the Monday morning blues. We've got our two-time crew on deck. And we just got finished talking about what's going on in the new year. Unfortunately, we had a, you know, our police officer joining the force on his very first shift, who was murdered and left a wife and a six-month-old child. We talked about the Staten Island 18-year-old who got into an argument with his parents, and that got into some bad situation where he then shot both his parents, killing his mother and wounding the father. And got to keep this situation, these situations lifted before the Lord. And we're about to have our new conversation. Ah, it's Relationship Day. Good morning, my due time crew. I'm happy to have you with us today. All right. So we're talking today. You know, last week, before we go any further, last week we had a wonderful conversation with the Smiths, and we were able to hear their version of this is really, wow. Okay, so we're going to start all over again. We're talking about last week's conversation with the Smiths and their role to their relationship conversation. And it was just filled with so many different gems and things like that. So, you know, I ended up coming across relationship goals that couples have and, you know, why we need to actually set those goals, because we're talking about the road to there. And the road to there could have been anywhere. If they did not have a mutual understanding, if they didn't have a mutual agreement, if they didn't have that conversation as to where the road to there would lead, ooh, we don't know where they'd be, where they would be. So, ooh, Pastor Kale, we're going to start with you. You know, one of the relationship goals, they said you're going to go through those rough patches as allies. Ooh, how important is that?
Well, I mean, that's very, very important to know. I mean, I've always been told, and I've experienced it myself, your first 3 to 5 years is rough. You know, when you're dating, you know, you put on your best face. You know, you think everything is great. It's a whole nother world living together. And then, you know, some folks deal with money differently. So, you know, you got to figure out who's the strongest in taking care of bills. Who's the strongest in taking care of the house. You're going to have fights that you never even thought you were going to have. You know, but once you iron out all the kinks and figure out, you know, who's who, you know, a lot of times the man wants to run everything. And because the female's been running everything, she doesn't know how to let go of something. And just because you're the man don't mean you're the best at running everything. Sometimes that woman is the best at running everything. And it cannot bruise your ego to let it go.
Oh, I like that. I like that. You kind of said what Mr. Smith said last week. I like that. Good start, Pastor. Oh, good start. Oh, Brother Al, we're talking about going through, you know, the relationship rough patches as allies.
Oh yeah, that's very important. A lot of mistakes that people make is not really getting a chance to really get to know each other. You know, like Pastor Kale said, we don't have some rough times. Okay, but that's just part of life. Handle it. Something go say, all right, well, you know what, you did that, so you on your own. No, we got to work this out together. You know, we have to work this. And, I mean, we've been saying it for the God knows how long, and that's the conversation, you know, the communication. You know, it's going to be rough. So when it gets rough, are you going to back out? You know, like they said, when the ship start getting rocky, are you going to jump off? Or are you going to hang on there with me and help me get through this? We can get through this together. So that's very important.
All right. Tamika, we're talking about getting through the rough patches and how, you know, as allies opposed to enemies.
And compromise is the major key for all of that, you know. And Pastor Kale is so right. You know, those first 5 years, you know, you think that people have a tendency to think that, you know, when you're in the dating stage, that everything is going to be glory and everything's going to be fine and you're always going to be smiling. You know, that newlywed stage is, you know, part of it, you know, that there is the good stuff. But then there's the things that, you know, okay, one of you may think singly as opposed to dually, and you have to work together through those hard, rough places, you know. Something simple as, oh, well, she only washes her clothes. She doesn't wash your clothes together. You know, that clearly says that, you know, she thinks single-mindedly, you know, or when he pays the bills, he only pays just this portion. It's a thing where you have to agree. You have to sit and talk about it, and because realize that your life is transitioning. And so, you know, those things you have to work together. It's not a thing of, well, you just buy something and you don't think that the resources would affect him because you're dually minded, you know. And so that's very important to compromise and to talk it out.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. Oh, they say that you should become the best versions of yourselves together. Ooh, Brother Al, what you got to say for that one?
Oh, that's a good one. Become the best version. Yeah, I'm gonna go yes with that because you know, when you get in a relationship, again, it's no longer just me. It's me and you. So if I'm doing something or you're doing something to cause an issue, then you need to change that. Okay, listen, I'm on my phone all the time. You know I hate the phone, right? But I'm on my phone all the time, and I'm not my partner, and he doesn't like it. So you know what? I need to chill out on that. I need to back off that, and so it won't cause an issue. I believe that's definitely good. Because, again, it's no longer just me. Is us. So yeah, I do agree with that.
All right, Tamika, we're talking about becoming the best versions of yourselves together. I like that one.
That is so important. You know, I'll give you, you know, a for instance, you know, let's just say she catches the attitude with every little thing. You know, if it's not particularly her situation, she's just, you know, all out in sorts. You know, she's always been that way. Then she gets in a relationship with you, and now every time there's something that doesn't go her way, you know, she's spazzing out and acting all kinds of crazy, you know. You need to present your best friend, best self, you know. Try to compromise. It's not always about you. You know, it's a team. And so with that, you know, there is no I in team. It's not all about you. It's about we.
All right. And Pastor KL, what's your thought on becoming the best versions of yourselves together?
Okay, I think first you both have to identify on what you do good. You know, once you identify on what you do, once you realize that, okay, I'm not the money person, you're the money person. You know, you're not the decorative person, I'm the decorative person. Then together, we can work at all these things because we've already acknowledged, you know, we're not fumbling around trying to figure this thing out. You know, we know what you're good at. Listen, if you make spaghetti, baby, make spaghetti. Don't make chicken. Just make spaghetti. And perfect the spaghetti. You know, we need to perfect the things that we are good at so that we can complement each other. You know, so it doesn't make sense for us to both do the same thing because we're going to be lacking somewhere else. But if I can do this and then you can do this, then we complement each other and then we can be the best together.
Ah, I like that. Good stuff, ladies and gentlemen. Okay. Tamika, it says that one relationship goal is that you become each other's cheerleaders. And we spoke about this before on its due time. But maybe not in this particular essence of a goal that both of you need to have.
That's definitely a major think. You might think that it's minor, but, you know, I can think of, you know, just an instance that happened to me. But, you know, every now and then there's nothing wrong with a rah, 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 sis, boom, bah, you know, hey, you know, attaboy, you know, hand it to him, you know, because it's a sad thing when everybody else, oh, you look nice, oh, you're nice suit, and such and such and such, and you say absolutely positively nothing. Because that thing, you know, that thing at home does mean the difference. You know, I'm doing this for you. You know, I'm doing this for we. And then you say nothing. So, you know, when you're the one not saying anything and everyone else is saying stuff, it starts to cause an issue because the person who's not being acknowledged at home may have the need to seek elsewhere.
Oh, my goodness gracious. All righty. Pastor KL, become each other's cheerleader.
Yeah, I think that's very, very important. Even when it's not even up to your standards. You know, I just talked about the spaghetti. It's a baby spaghetti. Even if the spaghetti's not good, you know, you just go in and, baby, this is good. This is real good. You know, because once you tear them down, they already don't want to cook. Because of the way they feel about cooking. But if you tear them down, they're not going to do it ever again. You know, so sometimes you just got to motivate. Yeah, you look good, baby. You look, them jeans don't make you look bad. Them jeans make you look perfect, baby. You look great. You know, you got to motivate each other. If your man is trying to get a job and he comes home and don't get it, baby, you'll get the next one. You just keep on doing what you're doing. Don't tear him down. You just sitting here. You ain't finding no job. We hungry. We trying to eat. But if he's naturally trying, then you say, yeah, baby, you'll get the next one. Maybe God didn't want you to have this one. We'll keep on praying. In fact, come on, let's pray together right now. I heard that if we touch and agree, baby, that God is going to show up. So come on, let's touch and agree right now. See, you've got to stop it, and you've got to be that cheerleader. You know, because, listen, you picked this person. They picked you. So if you can't motivate the one that you picked, then we got a problem.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Come on, Brother Al. Become one another's cheerleader.
Oh, yeah, I definitely agree with that. But it's the spaghetti. I'm sorry. If the spaghetti is nasty, it's nasty, okay? I got to tell you, God. You know what I'm saying? Don't y'all listen, Pastor Carol. If the spaghetti nasty, it's nasty. But I ain't going to tell you down. I ain't going to tell you down. But I'm going to say, hey, you know, The spaghetti was pretty decent. You know, the next time, try a little bit more sauce. I think that would be good if you try a little bit more sauce on that. I appreciate it, though. Now, I ain't going to tear you down, but I'm going to be truthful. You know, but I do believe that, you know, because that's who you want. That's who you want to hear that got your back is your other half. You know, you doing something. You know, everybody else saying, oh, you did good with this and that, and that's fine. But it's even better when it's coming from your other half. So that's definitely, you know, you need to be that other half cheerleader.
All right. Pastor KL, we're talking about dedicating time to each other. That needs to be a goal.
That, you know what, and I'm gonna tell you, in a marriage where two people work and you have children, That's not always easy. However, it's always necessary. You know, I mean, because it seems like somebody always comes more important than you two. You know, I mean, when the children are out and they're grown, that's a whole different story. But raising children and trying to work and trying to, you work and she works, it gets a little frustrating, especially to the one who's at home all the time with the child, because their level of conversation is only up to a 5-year-old. So sometimes that frustrates them. So they need you to come home so that maybe we can send the kids to a babysitter so I can have an adult conversation. And I don't think the man and or the woman, you know, realizes that it's frustrating when you're home and all you hear is, you got a pee-pee? You know, you need your bottle? You know, you're having conversations that for real, your language is never getting higher than a 3-year-old. And then when you come home, you're so tired, and I just want to talk to you. I want to say some big words, some encyclopedia words that you would understand. I just want to have an adult conversation. So that's really, really important.
Wow. Okay. Okay. Brother Al, we're talking about dedicating time to each other. How important is that?
Very, very important. You know, whatever your situation is, whether you, you know, you kids or you don't have children, you have to have that time just to spend together. Whether it's a date night, well, you know what, listen, Friday I'm dropping everything and this is what we're going to do. You know, we're going to spend where, you know, I've been in a situation with my other half where I was like, you know what, I've been working, I've been running. Can you take off Tuesday? Because I'm going to take, what day can you take off to so we can spend some time together? So I think it's very, very important. You know, you get to see how each other doing, because sometimes you running back and to ask that person, hey, how you doing? You okay? How you feeling? How, you know, what's your answers are? You don't get to do that because you're so busy running. So that's important to make that time. You have to make that time.
All right. All right. Good stuff. Tamika, dedicating time to each other.
You have got to do what you can do to make that time work. I remember pre-pandemic, you know, I was extremely busy. You know, it was always something. If I wasn't doing something, you know, working out, but, you know, my schedule was just all over the place, you know. And when you, whether you're married or not, you know, whether you're, even if you're in the dating stage, you have to find some time to just be together, you know, get to know each other, you know, face to face, you know, your expressions, you know, those things are things that last throughout the length of time. And, you know, when you can't seem to find time, when you're busy like that, you just, you know, find a day, you know, take off a Tuesday, take off a Wednesday so that you can be time, you know, so that you can have that time together.
All right. All right. Brother Al, we're talking about speaking well and respectfully of each other. Should that be a goal?
Now say that again. It was breaking up a little bit. You said speaking well.
Speak well and respectfully of each other.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's a big thing as well. You know, definitely the respectful part. You know, if you can't respect her, why you, you know, other people won't respect, you know. So to move forward on that, again, that's knowing the person you're with, knowing what they like, what they don't like, you know, and that's where you get to respect their feelings. You know, some people, oh, that ain't nothing to get mad about. Well, you know what? You're not that person. You don't know what that person gets mad about. Oh, so they feelings are valid, you know, so you have to respect that. So that'll get you a long way to respect.
Okay, okay. We're going to address this, your feelings are valid one day. We're really going to get into that one. But we are talking about speaking well and respectfully of each other. Come on, Tamika, what you got?
I often say you need to taste things before you, you know, you put it on the table. You know, I know some people that can be extremely harsh from their mouth and even without a reason. You know, it was just, you know, you're just so cruel and so harsh. You know, you never know how that can be perceived or received. And in a relationship, you want to say things that encourage your partner to do more, to be more, to act accordingly for both of you. And so you have to watch what you say out of your mouth, you know, because it can cause damage that can be irreparable, you know, that you can't fix.
Okay, okay. Pastor KL, speak well and respectfully of each other.
Well, yeah, I mean, to me, that goes across the board. I mean, first of all, you don't know what kind of day I've had. I don't know what kind of day you had. So now I come home and I'm screaming because the house is not clean. I don't know how many times the baby went through Pampers, you know, how many times the baby might have been sick. And now think about it. What I say may trigger a reaction from you. because every action causes a reaction. You know, when we talk about these people killing their parents, those are reactions from actions that has happened. You know, a lot of these young folks and us old folks, if we feel disrespected, we react a different way. You know, so we have to be careful. You know, you don't want to be talked anyway. You don't want to be treated anyway. So why do that to your significant other? You know, if I feel that I'm not being respected, I no longer bring the same things to the table. And I no longer do that because I don't feel appreciated. So sometimes, you know, in that, somebody's on the sideline watching how you're treating me and know that they can treat me a little better. And I may gravitate to that simply because I need some kind of real attention. So, yeah, we got to be careful.
Wow. That's the second time we've talked about possibly gravitating because it's just the goals are not being met. Okay. Ooh. Lady Tamika, we're talking about trying new things together. Should that be a goal?
Oh, why not? You know, when you think about it, you both don't always like the same exact things. And so let's try, you know, something outside of the norm so that we can see, you know, what the other person's interest is. You know, and then, you know, something as simple as trying new foods, you know. You'd be surprised what type of conversations can come out, what kind of laughs, what kind of giggles that transpire just from trying something as simple as a new food or going to a new place, you know. It helps you broaden your horizons and not just your little small circle. It makes things bigger all the more.
All right. Pastor K.L., trying new things together needs to be a goal, correct?
Correct. And then I think you should try things that even you might think is silly or stupid. Like my wife and I, we'll say, let's go to the zoo. And you would think, well, you're not bringing no children. Let's go to the circus. But you're not bringing no children. You know, sometimes you got to come out of the box, you know, to relive, you know, childhood memories. You know, sometimes being an adult is a hard thing to always be an adult. You know, sometimes, you know, if you can go to the zoo and you can lay your head down and pet the animals or, you know, look at the clowns and, you know, look at different things. It don't always have to be deep and adultish. You know what I mean? We can be able to be children together. You know, we go to Six Flags all the time. You know what I'm saying? That's something we like to do. Sometimes you just got to come out of the box. Everything is not Red Lobster. Everything is not the restaurant. You know, everything is not the concert. You know, let's do some things that we wouldn't necessarily do. Let's go hiking. You know, let's ride the bikes together. I'm only gonna ride one block, but we can ride the bikes together. You know what I mean? I'll watch you, but we gotta try new things.
Oh, Brother Al, we're talking about trying new things together.
Yeah, oh man, that's a perfect thing. Be adventurous, you know. And like was previous said, you wouldn't believe the conversation and the fun that you would have out of just trying it out. Okay, you know what, I never did it before, she's into this. Okay, let's see what's happening. Let's see. And like I said, you wouldn't believe the fun that you have, the conversation that you have, and even saying to your other half, you know, your other half is like, wow, you know, he really did try that. That's cool. And I remember an instance where I tried something and I had a ball and it was just so crazy because I went out to eat, me and my other half went out to eat, and I never, ever, ever tried using chopsticks. And so I was like, I don't want to use it because I know it's hard. But I said, you know what? Why not? So I sat there and that's about 10 minutes and my stomach was growling because I couldn't get the food on the chopstick. And I'm sitting at the table and they brought me soup and they had a certain spoon with the soup. And I took the spoon and I started eating with the spoon while everybody else was eating with chopstick. And that was just a joke of the night. And it was just fun. I'm like, wow, I'm glad I did try it. And I see that it's not easy. I did learn a little bit of it, but I'm like, I can do this when I'm not hungry. If I'm hungry, I can't do these chopsticks. But if I ain't that hungry, I can work with it. So it's like, yeah, be adventurous. And like I say, you wouldn't believe the conversation that would come from that or the fun that you would have by allowing yourself to open up and say, okay, you know what, let me try it. And go off with a positive. Don't try it with a negative attitude. Go off with a positive attitude. You know what? This may be fun. Let me try it and see.
Okay. All right. So we're going to wrap this relationship goal list up with prioritizing each other. And that's going to be your closing today. But we're going to start with you, Brother Al. Prioritize each other. That needs to be a relationship goal.
Yes, that definitely should be a relationship goal. You know, one of the biggest things is, again, the communication. By communicating, you're going to find out what this person like, what this person don't like, what makes this person really happy. And then you should put that first. Make that woman feel good, you know, like, hey, look, you know, okay, we already know God is first in my life, and then you're coming in second. But you know what? I'm going to make sure, oh, she loves flowers. So you know what? When I come home, when she come home from work, I'm going to surprise her with flowers just to say, hey, I hope you had a great day and I love you. So you, by doing that, Pastor Carol said it a billion times, you know, a happy wife, a happy house, you know what I'm saying, a happy life. So you want to make that person feel special. Put that person in the front instead of putting that person in behind, because I always said it, what you won't do, somebody else will.
All right. Tamika, we're talking about prioritizing each other. How are we closing today?
So Lurking Louie or Lurking Lucy is always somewhere nearby. And so when you decide to shirk your responsibility to take care of or prioritize, you know, his schedule or her schedule or whatever it is, you know, so that it, you know, you fit them in, fit it into your calendar, work your way to try and make things work. You open up the opportunity for you to either have them forfeit and end up going with Louie or Lucy, or you just being by yourself and they just decide, okay, you know what, maybe you're not my choice. Because you're not choosing me, then I won't choose you either. You have to understand that feelings of, you know, the people, you know, perceive things certain ways. And when you don't show the interest, it gives them the out to go somewhere else.
All right. Pastor Kale, you have the final word today. We're talking about the relationship goal, prioritizing each other. How are we closing out?
Prioritizing is very, very, very important. You might have your boys, you might have your girls, and, you know, you might have your day out with them, you know, but your husband or your wife or even if you're dating your significant other, you should prioritize them. And they say, baby, I want to do something today, and you keep on saying, well, no, not today because I'm busy, or no, not today because I'm tired. You know, then it's almost like, well, who comes before me? You know, your mother, your father, your girlfriends, your kids, everybody comes before me. And then what becomes frustrating is that I come first when you need something. You know, when you need me to bail you out, then I become your first line of defense. But when I see that's the only time I'm prioritized, then it becomes a problem for me. Yeah, I always say that, you know, a happy wife is a happy life. But for the other thing is that a happy spouse is a happy house. So everybody got to be happy.
All righty. Thank you, my due time crew, for spending time with us this morning and helping us with relationship goals and what they should and should not be. We pray you have a blessed day.
You too as well.
Thank you. All righty.
You as well.
Thank you. Ah, what a good conversation. What a good conversation. Never gets old, never grows stale. It's that time of the Monday morning where we get our switch tip with Shantice. Let's say good morning. Good morning, Shantice.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. How are you? You're coming through nice and clear, and I need you to keep it right there. What you got for us today?
Today I got the switch with Shantice, where we make the switch from the streets to our godly seat. And we're going to start off with two definitions this morning. First one is faithful, which means remaining loyal and steadfast. A few words for faithful is constant, reliable, and committed. And our second definition is trait, a specifically different standard or characteristic. And another word for trait is feature. Now, switch tip 74 is stay faithful to your godly traits. I couldn't just leave it at stay. I started to just say stay faithful to you, but we got to get real specific with our wording nowadays because the you may not be the you that God needs you to be. So we really have to stay faithful to the traits that he is instilling in us. And I came up with this switch tip because I was doing some reading, and I came across 2 Timothy 2:13 in the Message version, and that reads, if we give up on him, he does not give up, for there's no way he can be false to himself. And when I read it the first time, I was like, oh, okay, you know, that's dope. I like that. And God kept bringing me back to it, and I was like, wow, that's exactly what God was trying to get me to realize about myself. You know, there was a particular relationship where, you know, God showed me from a while ago that I was very conditional. You know, I would be good until, I was loving until, I was faithful until. And I was really, really, really infamous for saying to people, you know, like, I'm sweet, I'm nice, I'm good until you get me to that point, and then it's like, all right, all bets are off. Now I completely transform into a whole different person. And I took pride in that, you know, because I was okay with knowing I could be this person, but then I always felt justified now to be the other person because of what someone else did or said to me. And God had to show me, like, okay, now that you're for me, and now you're saying that you want to be for me, you got to switch that up. You can't be like that. And reading this verse, we have to realize and remember that that's not how Jesus operates. If he operated like that, none of us would be here. Because, okay, he then gave his life for us before we were born. So, okay, just think about it as Jesus. Okay, I'm giving my life for these people who are not even here yet. So I'm going to have hope, God. I'm going to trust you that these people are going to come into this world and they're going to understand what I did for them before they even came into this world, and they're going to respect me. They're going to honor me. They're going to be faithful to me. They're going to see not only what I did for them before they got here, but what I'm doing for them while they're here. And they're going to match my energy. You know, they're going to match my vibe. They're going to reciprocate what I'm doing for them. And then we turn around and continue to give him our behind to kiss, and we continue to be for him at 102, but then at 115, we're not for him. And he's like, all right, you know what, God? I ain't with this no more. Forget these people. They keep switching up on me. I'm not with it. I done already died for them. Now I'm up here with you, and they still trying to play me even after I'm still going to bat for them all the time. I ain't petitioning for them no more. I'm not doing it no more. If he was to really act like that, none of us would be here, because God loves us and he does all that, but he does all of that through Jesus. So we need him to continue to stay the way that he is for us, to stay committed to the traits that God gave him. He's faithful to those traits. And I just said, wow, God, like, I feel like such crap every time I think about that relationship. And I think about, yes, the person did me dirty. Yes, the person got on my nerves. They created new nerves to get on. Yes, the person gave me reasons for me to say, ah, you know what, I'm good off of you. Go just, oh my gosh, it's just the thoughts that just came to mind, like, yes, and God understands that, Jesus understands that. However, I positioned you to have these distinct features, and I thought about my traits, right? And I thought about the traits that God needs me to have, and that I do have, actually. He gave me the ability to be loving, the ability to be humble, supportive, patient, gentle. At the same time, he needs me to be spiritually aggressive. So there's certain times I really have to make sure I'm in tune with God and the Holy Spirit, because at one point he may need me to be gentle, and then he may need me to switch immediately into being spiritually aggressive, but still having a level of gentleness. And that balance is very, very, very challenging, but I'm able to do it because I already have that in me. So while I'm asking God, can you give this to me, he's already given it to me, and he needs me to stay faithful to all of that, despite what someone else may do, despite what someone else may say. I need to make sure that I stay loving. I need to make sure that I stay humble. I need to make sure I stay supportive and patient and gentle, sometimes at the same time spiritually aggressive. And now you have to sit and you have to, I would suggest, making a list and writing the traits down that God has given you. You know, the same way he needs me to love may not be the same exact way he needs you to love. Everybody may have the same foundation traits, but it still may, there still may be some differences, because he's not going to have us come across the same type of people, the same type of situation. So we have to make sure that regardless of what goes on around us, even if it's not a specific person or a specific situation, just the craziness that's going on around us. You know, last year I was speaking to a few people, and one of the things that kept coming up is, you know, no one close to them necessarily had to pass from COVID, but just because of it being COVID and quarantine and just everything that was going on around them, they allowed that to start making them change. And I was just like, well, that kind of sounds a little crazy, because while there are some people who I know who have lost parents and lost, you know, kids and whomever to COVID, you know, that's not your story, but yet you're just allowing what's happening around you to now affect and make you change. And it's like, no, we need to be using this time and energy to be thanking God that it hasn't changed our world in that aspect, because it hasn't hit us that close to home. So we have to make sure that we're making a conscious decision to make this, making the switch from allowing ourselves to switch up. You know, stop allowing people, places, and things to dictate our mood and our actions. I know what that's like. I know what it is to have my mood and my attitude contingent on the movements of someone else. And it is very, 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 very depressing and very sickening, because you don't know how you're going to fluctuate, because you don't know how they're going to fluctuate. But when you allow yourself to be rooted in the features that God has specifically given to you, that, yes, you go and you shed those tears right now, or you go and you yell and you scream and you run around and you jump, wherever you need your outlet to be with God respectfully, you go ahead and do that, because you know that you can't stop being loving and humble and supportive and patient and gentle and all of that. And people going to try to test you. The enemy going to try to test you. Your flesh is going to keep crying out for you to feed it. And especially if you're like me and you had anger issues, you know, you want to kind of tiptoe back into that at times. But you have to stay faithful to who you truly are. And this forces you to spend time with God so that you can learn who you are, because you're not going to be able to list your traits if you don't know who God needs you to be. So let's make sure we're making the switch from being moody, being up and down, and being conditional to being unconditional and faithful to our traits and staying faithful to our godly traits. Thank you, Pastor Steph.
Ooh, thank you, Shantice. We pray that you have a blessed day. Thank you so much.
Thank you. You too.
All right. All right. So I was going to pray, and then Spirit of the Lord tapped me to read a benediction, because we need to have a closing conversation here. So we're going to read 1 Timothy 6:15-16. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see, to him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. So, giving God thanks for our conversations today. You know, I heard a couple of things, and I heard one thing a couple times, and, you know, I realized that it's definitely a possibility. And then I heard this other thing, and I was like, okay, you know, we're going to talk about that. But then God said, no, we're going to close with that today. You know, we talk consistently today about relationship goals, and I don't mean to say we talk consistently, but the topic was relationship goals. And one of the things that came out a few times was the fact that if we don't do it, there's someone standing and lurking who will do it. And it's extremely true. But I want to talk from a different angle today. I want to talk from the angle of the Christian me. You know, and it really got pushed forth to the forefront when Shantice brought up her tip, stay faithful to your godly traits. And when the crew was talking, every time one of them said it, I cringed, because I realized how unfaithful we are as people. If things don't go our way, immediately we go lurking and looking for something to substitute, to replace, to, you know, I got to have this because you're not doing it. And so I'm not talking about the world right now, because we know that that's what the world does. We know that the world, you know, it's always a plan B. It's never God. And my concern is, are we as Christians operating the same way the world does? Because exactly what the crew said is exactly what happened. As soon as you're not paying me enough attention, here I go, looking for someone. Okay, they're talking a little longer at the job, and you didn't have that conversation with me, and I wanted to talk, and you're not paying me attention. This is so common. This happens so often. And my concern is, are we as Christian people behaving the same way? So when that spouse doesn't do, you know, what we want them to do, if they don't give us that attention we want, are we out there now seeking? Has our heart become so out of kilter? Has our mind become so out of kilter? Has our flesh become so out of kilter that we now begin to seek where we can't get it? What do you do when that spouse, because one of the things was, and I saw it and I was like, wow, when it said that we have to, let me get it together, become the best versions of ourselves together. See, the problem is we don't give the other person enough time to grow. See, we forget that we are growing somewhere, that maybe the spouse on the other side would prefer us to be a little more advanced in. No, that we're perfect, and we don't have that same patience and love and we don't have that me time, that time that we go pray about it. And this is why I am so against this saying, our feelings are valid. That's rubbed me, especially within this last year and a half. That particular, that phrase rubbed me wrong, and I'll tell you why. Because this is why. See, when we tell people your feelings are valid, are we missing the opportunity to help them to see things another way? Are we saying to them, yes, I understand how you feel, you know? However, God needs us to. Or, yes, you may be speaking as to how you feel, but here's a verse that says, when you tell a person your feelings are valid, whether you realize it or not, you're telling them it's okay to feel that way. Now, that may not be your goal. Talking about goals here today. That may not be your goal, but in all honesty, that's what you're telling them. You know, I can't say anything, you know, because their feelings are valid. What makes it valid? Because they feel it, God needs us to come up out this feeling thing. And we as people of God need to help others understand that it's not about a feeling. Because, see, this is what sends people migrating. My feeling is you didn't give me enough time today. I needed it today, and you weren't listening to me, and how could you ignore? You should have been able to see how I felt. When I came through the door, I didn't look the same. How come you didn't pick that up? But when I went to work, John understood. You know, he said, well, you know what? I see you looking a little different today. You know, your face is different. You know, you're not smiling, but you didn't say that. And because of the way I feel, now I'm migrating. Now I'm seeking the attention of someone else because of my feelings. And God needs us to look past those feelings. God needs us to say, and I believe it was Pastor Cale who said, you know what, I'm walking through the door with how I felt. But have I taken into consideration how you feel, what you may have gone through for the day? So does that make your feelings a little more valid than mine? Does that make my feelings more valid than yours? No, because we're supposed to be growing together. So kill this conversation of your feelings are valid, because it's not. It's not. Our feelings are not valid. Our feelings exist. But see, we as partners in Christ, we need to help one another channel the feelings, because regardless of anything, we're going to feel that. That's not going to go anywhere. Oh yeah, we're going to feel. However, how valid are those feelings? You know, a lot of times, let me tell you something, when you go back into people's psyche, are their feelings really valid? Because you say someone stepped on your toe, did someone really step on your toe? Or because you're so twisted today, you felt like somebody stepped on your toe? When you say your feelings are valid, that gives them the feeling again, or the understanding that they're correct. And that's not something we need to be helping them with. See, I can't help you go deeper into your feelings. I got to help you understand that, yes, those feelings may exist, but let me help you rechannel your thoughts and your feelings. That's our job. And my question is, are we falling down on the job? So no, your feelings are not valid all the time. So we need to come up out of saying that to people. We need to come out of making that statement. You feel what you feel, and we can't help the way you feel, because you could be feeling that way for any particular reason. You know, something that may, some people are very fickle. Some, you know, because they're in a bad mood, what may not have helped them yesterday will help them today. What they didn't like yesterday, they now like tomorrow. What they liked yesterday, they hate today. People are very fickle. Are you going to tell them that your feelings are valid? Because there's a lot of things that people go through emotionally that we don't even understand. And when we stamp their feelings by telling them, well, I can't say nothing because you know your feelings are valid, now that's helping them sink deeper into a hole that God may be needing us to help them get out of. This is why we need to study our Bibles. This is why we need to understand what these scriptures ultimately mean. This is why we need to know and pray each and every day for God to guide us as to what we need to say to his people. So I really hope you understand this, your feelings are valid thing, and just to look at it just a little bit different, that your feelings are so not out of control that you don't understand what's being given to you today, and that God invested in that today. Okay? I love you. Ah. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m., where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew for coming through for us big time, and I want to thank you for hanging out with us today and sharing our morning with us, and prayerfully, everyone has shaken the Monday morning blues. Oh, please give your life to Jesus right now, because later is not promised to any of us. Until tomorrow, where we will be chatting and having our church folk day. God spares our life. I love you.